Okay, so continuing on in study of the book Nevertheless I Live, we're on chapter number 5, and so we're going to be going through different sections of that chapter. And so the title of this chapter is Five Forms for a Firm Foundation. And it's just thought that with any building that we have, if that building is going to last, if that building is going to be stable, it needs to have a good foundation. No matter how good the other parts of the building may be, if the foundation isn't any good, the building's not going to last. And we realize that with our own lives, is that if we're going to have a life that has some stability to it, that we're going to make progress in life, our life's going to last, that we're going to have different challenges that we face, but yet our life is going to stand firm, then we need to have a good foundation. And it's kind of the thing that we realize sometimes when we've gotten into addiction and other bad behaviors, we realize that we fell into that because we were missing that foundation, that some great storm came against us and we didn't know how to handle it, and we turned to something that we thought would help us, and it ended up being to our destruction. And so learning instead to be able to weather those storms, and to be able to weather those storms, we have to have that foundation. And so we look at it, in my life, I don't really have a good foundation now, there's parts that are missing, but we want to realize there's things we can develop within our lives that will help us to establish that foundation. And it's kind of, I know in this country, of course, it's not like we have an abundance of stone that we can quarry and we can build with. And so if we're building a foundation, we use concrete. And so if you're building with concrete, what do you need to do? You need to have a form. And so it's a structure that you build, the concrete gets in, and then once it hardens up, then you pull the forms away, and then you see, I've got a foundation. So with what we're going to talk about is different things that we do these things, and they are going to help develop a foundation that is strong. And so we're going to go through Luke chapter 6, and this is where Jesus lays out these five forms of a firm foundation. And so these are things we can build in our lives that are going to shape and establish unyielding support for the structure of our lives. And so before, where some difficulty happened and we turned to our drug of choice to deal with it, that instead we were able to handle it, weather the storm, and keep on a healthy path. And so this evening we're going to consider the first, and that's about following. Following. So we see this, Luke 6:39-40, says, he spake a parable unto them, can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but every one that is perfect shall be as his master. And so we want to consider what he's saying and apply it in terms of really our getting into addiction, and as well thinking, how am I going to get out of this? And it comes as we learn about following. So certain truths we want to understand about following. First off, whom we follow determines our destination, right? That if we want to get to a certain place, right, we may follow this person thinking they might get them there, but if they're the wrong person to follow, they're going to lead us the wrong path, right? And so we want to make sure, if we have a certain destination in mind, we want to make sure whom we're following is going to get us to that destination. Secondly, we become like those whom we follow. And it's, I know it's especially something that I see with, like, I think all of us have had kids, like, where you see where your kids are following you, they're doing things, they want to be like you. Like, I know with Job, it's kind of, I feel a little bad because, like, there's times where he'll find, like, a domino or something, right? And he'll put it up to his ear, he's like, hello? It's like, oh, wow. And it's too much time on my phone. And but it just, they follow, right? It's like, and it's just natural that you're going to start to imitate the person that you're following, kind of do things a lot the way they do. And so it's, again, it's important because who we choose to follow, that's going to shape who we become. And so choosing whom we follow is very important, and following the wrong person will lead to destruction. And so I think we can find that sometime. That's a thought. If we're blind, we're trying to figure out which way to go, but we're relying upon someone else that's blind, that's not a good thing. And of course, what happens a lot of times when we're young, right, is we have different people in our life that may be giving us advice, but a lot of times what do? Is we listen to our buddy. They say, oh yeah, he's got this great idea, I'm going to listen to him. And it's like, he doesn't have a clue. But we think, oh yeah, we're going to have a great time, and it's a disaster, right? And so that's the thing, is when we choose a really wrong person, it's going to lead us to destruction. And so it's the thing, if we follow someone who's struggling in the same area as we are, both of us are going to fall. And that's what the verse is saying. If the blind lead the blind, we're both going to fall in the ditch. And it's very unfortunate. We don't want that to happen. It doesn't need to happen. And so we see Psalm 1:1, it describes the type of people we should not be following. Of course, that's a key verse with the RU program, a key passage. But it's, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. People that don't love God, don't want to follow God, people that are choosing to do what is wrong, people who are making fun of other people and making fun of what's right and wrong, but they're just not listening, that we realize, okay, yeah, these, God's saying that you're blessed if you don't follow these people. And so we want to realize that and really be able to identify, okay, if these people have these attitudes, they're not good people for me. And it's that kind of number 6 for the principles, those who do not love the Lord will not help us serve the Lord. And so we become aware of that. But the thing too is that we all choose our teachers. Okay, and that's like sometimes as we're younger, a lot of these ones that shape our lives are chosen for us. But as we get older, a lot of times we decide who we're going to be with, who we're spending our time with, who we allow to shape our lives, who we choose as our employers and stay working under, who we associate with. And so we're going to be a product of the teachers we choose to follow. So we have to, therefore, choose carefully. And so we want to consider choosing the right people to follow and how we define that. And this is something to recognize in our own hearts, because we've talked about our hearts deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. But a lot of times what happens, we tend to choose to follow people who will tell us what we want to hear. And will take us where we think we want to go. And it's kind of the thing that you can, we're looking for yes men, where it's like, I got an idea, and like, oh yeah, that's a great idea. And we don't want someone that's going to say, maybe you should not do that, or that's dumb, and that's going to end in disaster. And we don't like to hear those people, even if they're right, even if they're warning us to help us, we'd rather listen to these others. And we want to understand that that's not a good thing, but that is our pattern many times, something that we need to fight against. It talks about this in 2 Timothy. It says, verse 3 and 4, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. It's this idea, it's like they're trying to justify their actions, and so they'll find as many people as they can to give them justification, right? And that's something we can do too, where we heap ourselves teachers. But what's happening is we're turning away from the truth, we're just rubber stamping what we want to do already, and it's getting us into trouble. Because a lot of times there is a way that seems right to us, but the end thereof can be the ways of death. They say, oh yeah, this sounds great, but then we get to the end of it and know this was a terrible mistake. A big example of that is the story of King Rehoboam in 1 Kings chapter 12. Because what happened was Solomon had been the king for many years. He was now the king, and had some of the nation of Israel said, well, we were highly taxed under your father. Could you ease our tax burden? And he went to the old men, the wise men that had served with his father, and they said, okay, yeah, if you just reduce their tax burden as they're asking, that they'll love you and you'll be appreciated, you'll have a long reign. But then he thought, well, I don't know about that. So then he went to the guys that he grew up with and says, what do you guys think? And they're like, oh, well, you should show them who's boss. You should actually double their taxes and just kind of put your thumb on them and show them that you're a tough guy, right? And so he's like, oh, yeah, that sounds great. So he went and did what his buddies told him to do. And so he makes this announcement. And what happens is basically all but two tribes of the whole kingdom say, we're done with you. We're going to establish our own kingdom. And he basically lost the country just because he listened to the wrong people. And so we think of that we have to fight that tendency we have, that just because, like sometimes people tell us what they hear, but it's flattery and it can be to our destruction. And we have to get an idea that, okay, I'm not necessarily, I don't have the wisdom. Sometimes I need someone that's going to challenge me, give me a different perspective. They might rub me the wrong way, but that could be a good thing. And so we want to think of that. But the thing is, too, we want to understand, because God wants to help us make right decisions. And so, in order to do that, God has placed authorities, figures in our lives who together serve as our umbrella of protection. And so we want to think about that it's something God is providing for safety for us. And we've talked about that we went through the one study called the Umbrella Fellow, where we want to stay under that umbrella because that's a place of safety. And so we really want to consider that and realize, okay, there's people in my life, God's put them in my life, and it's for a good reason. And so, apologize, this thing is glitching for some reason. But we want to understand is that there's different people that God puts in our lives, through our life, that are part of this umbrella. And so, the first we understand are parents. Parents from when we're very young, God has put them there for a reason to guide our lives. And that's why it says in Ephesians chapter 6 that as children we're to obey our parents, and that even as we're adults we're to honor father and mother. And so they guide our lives. And they're not perfect, but a lot of times we realize, yeah, they warn us about different things. And we're glad that they did, because it kept us from a lot of harm. I'm going to try this again. All right. I guess I'll just do it the other way. But apologize for that. I'm not sure why it's doing that. But then, along with parents, we can have teachers that we think of. Different people in schools where they're teaching us different things, teaching us different principles of living, that it can be valuable to us. I'm just going to leave it like that just so it doesn't close on us. So we think of teachers, that they help mold and shape our lives. And we want to see, okay, there's things they have that can we can learn from them. And so it's valuable. We have employers that as we start to work, we start to get into the job force, we deal with different employers, and of course they're not always easy to deal with, but we realize that there's things that they're trying to teach us, and different principles that we can learn in terms of working hard and doing other things. And so we want to value that. We want to see that those things are important. And so we want to learn to be able to submit to their guidance. As well, it talks about in the Bible of pastors, that in a church setting, a pastor has a role in our lives where they watch, talks about them watching for our souls, that they give that kind of spiritual wisdom and care over us. And so God uses those people to help guide us and keep us safe. But then as well, we have government, and sometimes we complain about government, but the Bible says that we're powers that be are ordained of God, and we submit ourselves to those powers. Because really, you think about it, if we lived where there wasn't a government, or that where it was just chaos, where everybody did whatever they want, that there was just rampant corruption and violence, and there was nobody around to stop it. Like, that would be a horrible place in which to live, right? And then we can think of different countries where their societies collapsed, where that's how they live, right? And so, even though we don't like government, we realize its value. And as well with law enforcement, that we realize, like, when we get a ticket for speeding, we don't very much like it, right? But then we realize, okay, if they're causing people to slow down, then there's less chance there's going to be an accident further down the road. And it's like, if we were on the other end of an accident where someone was speeding illegally, then we'd be like, where is the police? Why didn't they do their job? And so we want to realize the value that they have, and that they're there for our protection. They're there for our good. And with each of these people, we realize these are people that God has placed in our lives. And they may not be perfect people, but they're there for a reason. And learning to put ourselves under their leadership, learning to follow them instead of just doing our own thing, it helps keep us in a good place in our lives. All right, I'm just going to try this again. Hopefully it works. Yes, awesome. All right, but it's the thing. While we tend to want to rebel against authority, and that's always, I think, every one of us, it's like someone tells us what to do, and it's like, I want to do the opposite. I want to be in charge, right? But we want to fight that tendency, and we need to realize these people are in my life for my own good, and heeding their warnings can help us to avoid falling into the ditch of life. And that's really, when we think in terms of our pathway down into addiction, a lot of times we look at, how did I get there? A big part of it was I didn't listen to people that were warning me and trying to protect me. And Steve Currington, I know in his testimony, that's what he lays out. He didn't listen to his parents, didn't listen to his pastor, didn't listen to his employer, and he got to a point where he had basically become unemployable and just made a complete mess of his life. And he realized that, like, if he would have just listened to them, he would have saved himself from so much harm. And so we want to realize that they are there for our good. And sometimes we think, well, we're missing out because of the restrictions they're putting on my life, right? But we really want to think of it this way. Just think of all the awful stuff that I'm missing out by listening to them. And in comparison, like the little bit of fun I think I'm going to have compared to the big amount of regret and pain that I'm going to experience, that it just, there's no comparison. And we recognize that while no leader is perfect, as we give them respect and value their guidance, it helps us to progress in life. And Luke 16 talks about that, the idea if we're faithful in little things, then we're going to be faithful in big things. That a lot of times our time under authority is a proving ground. Okay? And so you can really think of it this way, that in as an employee, that what's going to happen, you have a boss that you don't like. You don't want to listen to him. He's riding and you just think he's just a jerk. And so you think, well, I'm going to quit and I'm going to get a different job. And then you go to another one and go, well, this guy's no good either. And then you quit again. And any time that they raise their voice or criticize you, it's like, I'm out of here. Well, what's going to happen down the road? That eventually these people is going to look at your resume and it's like, well, you're only like a month at all these different places. And like, why should I hire you? It's like, you're kind of better work for me for a month and then you'll be gone. I want someone that has some stability. Whereas it's instead, it's like if you endure a difficult boss, right? And maybe your personalities clash, but you show them respect, and then that's always kind of a two-way street. He starts to maybe show you respect, that, and you develop a relationship. You kind of get through kind of the rough patches. What's going to happen is you might work there 6 months, a year, and maybe you'll then have to go on to something else. But what's going to happen is you've got a good testimony and record with that employer. And so then he's sad to see you go, but he's willing to be someone that people can call as a reference. That this guy worked for me and he was like a great employee and you're lucky to have him if you accept him. And so that helps us to progress. And so it's learning that as we are willing to just kind of put our own pride sometimes down a bit and just humble ourselves and say, okay, I'm just going to learn here and this person may have glaring faults, but it's like, okay, it's just, what can I learn from them? And sometimes it's like, okay, well, if I'm in a position of leadership, I won't do this like he does. I'll do it a different way. But at least we value that ability and opportunity we have to learn. And so it's our attitude as we learn to abide in different things and follow people instead of just always wandering off and going on our way. It helps us make progress. This is a thought given by Paul as we draw to a close tonight, where he says to the people, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. And this is really something that we want to think of in terms when we're following people, we're making those choices. Because that's, especially as we become an adult, we have to decide, who am I spending my time with? Who am I allowing to impact and shape my life? Who am I listening to? That we want to pick the right person. And so, and ultimately this is a thought, we want to be followers of Christ ourselves. That he's the one that we need to follow his guidance. He is the truth that will set us free. And we want to learn to have a relationship with him and walk with him. But it's the thing is that if we're to become followers of Christ, it makes sense for us to choose those who are following Christ the closest. And so really, as we've talked about lately, especially in terms of the ideas of the fruit of the Spirit, where people are showing love, joy, and peace, and long-suffering, and gentleness, and goodness, and all those attributes, that when we see someone show those things, we say, yes, this is a person that's following Jesus. This is a person that's allowing God to live his life through them. This is a person I should follow. And that's really the thought. It's like, if this person knows God better than I do, he has a deeper relationship than I do, I want to have what this person has. And so we say, please, what can I follow you? And it's always that thing. We want to follow Christ, but it's, we want to go after someone that we know is following Christ. And so it's always the thing is that those that we know really love the Lord, those are the ones that are going to really help us. And so learning to follow helps us to have a firm foundation to our lives. And it's building something. Because it's, I remember years ago, I was teaching the teen boys in the church about the idea of being a leader. And one of the things I remember teaching them was that if you want to become a leader, if you want to learn to be a leader, you've got to first learn how to follow. And that's something we don't think of, but it's like, it's that perspective. Because ultimately, we're never going to be at a place where we're going to be on the top and everybody's following us and we don't follow anybody else. Because we're always supposed to be following God, right? And so it's if we're following and we think, okay, one day my life is going to shape others' lives, then we can think of that as an adult. That there's going to be, on the job site, maybe if I'm promoted, there's going to be people that I have to train that will be following me. If I have a family, that I'm eventually going to have kids that are going to look up to me and I have to lead them well. That we think of that, and even in a church, that we think, well, there might be people that just newly saved and just learn things and they look at me, well, you've been a Christian for a long time that I can learn from you. And so we realize that I'm going to be someone others, we want to be someone that others can follow and that will lead them the right way. We don't want to be a blind person that's going to lead someone else to the ditch. We want to be a good leader. And so it's learning to follow teaches us how to lead. And as we learn that, then we can be used of God to help others as well.